How many of you know our word for the year? I didn't ask you to say it. I just asked you to tell me if you knew it or not. I'm just kidding. What's our word for the year? Right, right. We're moving forward in faith with God, even if, come on, somebody say, even if. Even if the way isn't clear just yet. Put our scripture up for us, Josiah. This is our scripture for the year. Isaiah says, forget all that. Can we read it together? But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Come on, give God praise for moving forward. Amen. Now, as we get it ready to step into the message for today, I want you to go in Acts chapter 2, to Acts chapter 2 in your Bible, one of the most popular chapters in all of Scripture. And I want to talk today about the church that God blesses. I want to talk a little bit about the church that God blesses. Many people do not want to be part of a biblical blessed church. Not you, because you showed up today. Yeah, you. Somebody said, I risked life and limb to be here. I tell you what, I think it was windy, right? Just get 0.2-mile drive. I'm just kidding. Many people, however, don't want to be part of a biblical church. They want to be part of a custom church. Now, to be fair, I borrowed a lot of this from a friend of mine on Facebook, but it's pretty good. I'm going to read it to you. Is that okay? I may or may not have added a few things in there. I don't know. They don't want a biblical church. They want a custom church. They want a church that feeds them spiritually but does not confront them personally. They want a church that is full of people as long as it's not that one person. You know who I'm talking about. That if they walked in, you get a little tense. They want powerful worship, but they don't want it too loud, they don't want it too long, and they definitely don't want you to do that one song that they've heard too many times. Come on, say amen, Don. Amen. Amen. Most people, again, not you, because you're here today, right? And not you watching online, because you made space today in your schedule. They want preaching that is deep, but not heavy, relevant, but not uncomfortable, convicting, but mainly just for those other people, and preferably no longer than 25 minutes because queso is a call-in. Most people, not you though, they want church to take bold stands on cultural issues as long as those stands line up perfectly with what they already believe and think. And they never want the sermons or the messages to touch their money, their habits, or their relationships. They want the church to give generously to missions, to the poor, and to the community, but somehow to do it all without ever asking them to give. They want an amazing kids ministry, youth ministry, worship ministry, tech and media ministry. They want an amazing coffee ministry, parking lot ministry. If you can put ministry in front of it, they want it to be amazing, but they don't want to serve themselves. They just want other people to do it and lead it. And of course, when they have advice on how it could be done better, make sure that everyone listens to them. Most people, not you. You guys feeling good? You glad you came to church this afternoon? He said, I gave up my Sunday afternoon for this. Please don't log off Facebook yet. It gets a little better. Let me just tell you right here, right now, that if you ever find the perfect church, please don't go to it because you're going to ruin it. And I would too, right? I'd mess it up too. There's no such thing as a perfect church, but how many of you know that there is a such thing as a healthy, biblical, blessed church? Amen. Come on, say amen to that. Amen. Acts 2 gives us a great framework. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Just a few verses. Acts 2, starting with verse number 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. Father, thank you so much for your word, for the power of your spirit, and for the example that your church 2,000 years ago set for us. God, help us to learn, to glean, and to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated this afternoon. That's a hard one to make right there, to say this afternoon. I'll try to move quick, but here's the message in a nutshell. Here's the sermon in a sentence. Healthy churches, look at your neighbor and say healthy churches. Because that's the goal. Because a perfect church is impossible. Because churches are full of people. And until people reach perfection, there can be no such thing as perfect churches, right? Until leaders reach perfection, you can't have perfect pastors, right? But healthy churches, one more time, look at your neighbor and say healthy churches. Healthy churches move in three directions, up, in, and out. Healthy churches move in three directions, up, in, and out. Let me talk to you about the first movement, the upwards movement. What kind of church does God bless? God blesses a church that primarily, first and foremost, is God-centered. Let me say it again. What kind of church does God bless? God blesses a church that is God-centered. Again, verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and a prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Before, and this is worth writing down. This is not in your notes. This is not on the screen, but what I'm about to say is so worth writing down for us as a church, but also for you as an individual. Before the early church did anything for God, the early church lived in awe of God. Let me say it again. Before the early church ever did anything for God, the early church lived in awe of God. They were devoted to prayer, they were devoted to God's word, to worship, to reverence, and they were devoted to experiencing on a regular basis the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in their lives and in their times of gathering. Scripture was not an accessory that they carried to church with them or an app that they had on their phone. Rather, it was something that they lived and breathed and that they consumed as if they were consuming food. Prayer was not optional. Worship was not passive. And the supernatural was not something that was strange, but rather it would have been strange that on an ordinary basis they did not experience the supernatural. And so Lifehouse, here's just the bottom baseline truth, that in our lives and in our church, if God is not first, then everything else we do is absolutely and utterly meaningless. Even the good things that we do for people in and outside of the church, if God isn't the priority and the prerogative, everything else, it only lasts as far as this world and this life lasts. Amen. Come on, are you guys with me today? And that's why our mission, first and foremost, Lifehouse exists to glorify God. Lifehouse, we will not be a church where God is merely invited, but rather we must be a church where God is absolutely central to everything that we do, everything that we are, and everything that we seek and hope to accomplish. Our first and primary ministry as a church is not to you, is not to me, is not to kids, is not to those in need. Our first and our primary ministry that everything else flows out of and into is to the Lord. Our primary ministry is to the Lord. One of the reasons why we sing songs the way we do and worship the way we do is because our primary mission is to exalt Jesus. And then everything else that can happen good happens as a result of that primary thing having been accomplished. Amen. You say, well, I didn't really like the worship today. Well, it's a good news. We didn't worship you. I couldn't really get into worship today. Well, that's a you problem, not a us problem, because if what we do impacts what you're able to do as far as worshiping God, and this is a little strong, so hear my heart here, that's an issue with you. If you can't worship God to the songs we sing, then when you worship God to the songs that you like, you're not actually worshiping God. You're just parroting some songs you enjoy. Is that okay? And that's actually not a problem that I feel like we have here. I don't get a lot or really any complaints about that. But I just want to set the stage of what it means to truly worship the Lord. It's not about you. It's not about how you feel. It's not about how your week was. And to be completely honest with you, and again, this comes from a place of love and encouragement. This does not come from a place of confrontation or condemnation. But if you choose to worship or not to worship, or to be at church or not to be at church, based on how you are feeling and how your week has gone, you have actually made yourself God, and God is not God. Because your worship is predicated all about you. It's how you feel. It's how you're doing. It's how your emotional state is. It's how your spiritual state is. And I just want to give you this really good, really simple, but really life-changing advice. Never let what is wrong with you keep you from worshiping what is right with God. All right, now that we've, everybody okay? I didn't get to preach last week, so I'm ready to go. We teach to the best of our ability and preach scriptures, not preferences. We do our very best to make prayer a priority. We, to the best of our ability, exemplify and expect worship to be active and not passive. And we have an expectation that when we show up together, that God is going to move in this place. Amen. And a church that has lost its awe, lost its worship, has lost its power. Healthy churches, before they do anything else, they move up. Number two, the second movement, we move in. What kind of church does God bless? God blesses a church that is family strong. Verse 44, and all the believers met together. Now, let me say this. There's many watching online today, and I'm thankful that's an option. I had several people text me and say, hey, I wish I could be there, but because of my driveway or because of my car or because of this, and I totally understand. But those days, those times when we utilize something like Facebook Live to join in with church, those are the exceptions, not the rules. Because, listen, I can watch a YouTube video of somebody preaching at a church, and that can really encourage me. It can really inspire me. But if I don't have the community that accompanies that around me, then it's not church. It's good, but it's not what God means when we talk about church, right? The early church, this is all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. Mr. Coleman, you still got that boat? I just want to put that out there. Okay, verse 45, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. When somebody's like, you know, I don't think the New Testament talks about tithing, I'm going to be like, well, let's go read Acts 2:45. And let's take, because what really happens in the New Testament is that it doesn't take what was said in the Old Testament and lower the bar. What actually happens in the New Testament is it takes what was said in the Old Testament and it raises the bar. You got to understand that New Testament living is actually more committed, more all in than anything the law talked about. Because remember, like even Jesus said things like, you have heard it said, you must not commit adultery. But I say to you that even if you look at a woman with lustfully in your heart, you committed adultery with her. He said, you've heard it said, don't murder. That's a pretty good command, right? I think we can all say, for the most part, I mean, you know, there might be a few exceptions. But for the most part, right, that's a pretty good command. I'm kidding, please. I'm feeling a little extra spicy today. I don't normally eat this much before I preach. Yeah, it's all that cake. No, it was sausage casserole. But anyway, Jesus said, you've heard it said, don't murder. He says, but I say to you, don't even, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm probably misquoting a little bit. He says, I say to you, don't even harbor anger in your heart towards your neighbor. Everything Jesus talks about, everything the New Testament talks about doesn't lower the bar. It doesn't lower the standard. It always raises it. Because we have something that the Old Testament prophets and priests didn't have. We have something the Old Testament people didn't have, and that is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit living in us. God said in Jeremiah, through Moses, he says, I wrote the law on tablets of stone, but there is a day coming. And that day is in Acts chapter 2, by the way, when I will write my law on their hearts, and they will be my people. All right. He says, all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. Look at your neighbor and say, every day. Every day. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met at homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. The early church did not just believe together. The early church belonged together. They ate together, served together, gave together, laughed together. They walked through hardship together. They celebrated together. They cried together. They were not just a crowd. They were a family. And the shift that every church must take if it wants to be a truly biblical, God-honoring, healthy church is that we have to recognize as individuals, we do not just attend church, we actually belong to a spiritual family. And when a church grows healthy, a church grows healthier by when individuals stop dating the church and start committing to the church. And here's my hope and prayer for Lifehouse. And to be quite honest with you, a lot of this I already see. But how many of you understand we can be doing really good, but God wants to take us further, right? See, at Lifehouse, we don't just want rows of spectators. We want circles of family. That's why life groups matter. Serve teams matter. You see, a serve team, by the way, is not just so that we can get a job done. It's actually so that you can also be part of a community. Right? Life groups matter. Serve teams matter. Consistency matters. If you only come once a month, you're not part of the family. You're just a guest who shows up unannounced for dinner. Right? Forgiveness and repentance matters, because when you do life with people, offense is going to happen. You know why? Because we are not a perfect church. You're going to get mad at somebody. Somebody's going to get mad at you. Here is the thing. When it happens, you forgive quickly, you apologize quickly, you repent quickly, you love each other quickly, and you move on and you move forward. And again, this leads to unity. And unity matters in a church. And that's not uniformity. Unity and uniformity are two very different things. For instance, we don't look the same. We don't all vote the same. We don't all hold the same opinions. We don't all prefer the same music or the same style. Some of you wish your pastor wore a suit, and some of you are glad that he doesn't. And I hope that's most of you. Yeah. I wore my tall boots. You wish you had a taller pastor, but the best I could do was marry a tall woman. Anyway. You see, because we are family, look at your neighbor and say family. Family. Because we are family, we choose grace over gossip, forgiveness over bitterness. We choose to go to that person privately when we have an issue instead of putting some junk on Facebook. Matthew 18, by the way, right? Because a church that will not fight for unity will eventually just start fighting each other. And that's a church the devil loves. See, healthy churches are moving up, but they're also moving in. Thirdly, healthy churches move out. What kind of church does God bless? A church that is mission-driven. Verse 47, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You see, the Acts 2 church, the early church, they grew inward, but they lived sent. Does that make sense? They were generous. They were outward focused. They were open-handed. They were kingdom-minded. They did not hoard blessings. They did not treat their church like an exclusive club. And they did not allow themselves to drift into comfort or complacency. They understood the assignment, so to speak, that what God does in us, God also wants to do through us. I want to say that again, that what God does in us, God also does through us. Their generosity was not forced, it was joyful. Their missions was not a department, it was their identity. And evangelism wasn't a Wednesday night class, it was a way of life. And what does the Bible say? The Lord added to their fellowship daily. They didn't grow the church, Melanie. God grew the church. They just moved up, in, and out. They did the things that they could do, and then they watched in awe as God did the things that only He could do. And here is the hard, difficult, but truth. If a church is not reaching, and this is on an individual basis and on a church-wide basis, if a church is not reaching people for God, it is drifting from God. If a church is not reaching people for God, it is drifting from God. Now listen, I would even take it a step further. And this is confrontational, but it's just so you understand, this is also confrontational to me. I'm not super Christian up here who's figured it all out and do everything perfectly guy. My kids are in the room. They can tell you right here, right now, their daddy's got faults just like everybody else. But I would even take it a step further and say, it's not just if the church isn't reaching people for God, it's drifting from God, but I would even encourage you to recognize your own calling as a follower of Jesus. That if you, in some capacity, are not reaching people for God, then that should bring into question your relationship with God. One of the things that I hope I get to see while I'm in Israel is the Dead Sea. It's called the Dead Sea because nothing can live there. So that's where it gets its name. And the reason why nothing can live there is because the salinity, the salt level, is so high. It's actually about 10 times saltier in the Dead Sea than it is in the oceans. But it's kind of a misnomer that it's called the Dead Sea because it's really a lake. Because everything flows into it, but nothing flows out of it. Now, north of the Dead Sea, you have the Sea of Galilee, which I know I'm actually for sure going to get to see that. And the Sea of Galilee has all kind of marine life. That's where the disciples and Jesus did their fishing, and Jesus did his walking on water. And I'm going to try that if they let me while I'm there. We'll see what happens. See if I can get somebody to take a video. But you see, the Jordan River flows through there, and it flows down, and then it flows into the Dead Sea. But there's no outlet. All of us as followers of Jesus run the risk, I like to use the phrase, of becoming gospel gluttons, where we take these good things, God's Holy Spirit, God's Word, God's people, God's church, these experiences in the Lord, and we receive and we receive and we receive and we take and we take and we take, but we never give. We never become an outlet. Because remember what I said earlier, everything that God has done in us, He also wants to do through us. And what actually happens is that we become like the Dead Sea. We become a place where no life truly exists because all we do is take. All we do is receive. How many of you know, how many of you have experienced that the greatest joys in your life do not come from what you have been given, but they actually come from what you are able to give? Ruanne Larson is in the house today. Hey, Ruanne. And it was a couple of weeks ago that I joined her in Sturgeon Bay. Is that the right way to call it? Not in the bay, but I could have walked out there. But I joined her and several of her family and friends as we honored and celebrated the life of her late husband, Daryl Larson. Many of you remember Daryl. Many of you are new from, and you never got to meet Daryl, and I just feel sorry for you. And Daryl's a great guy, a lot of fun to be around. And I was so honored that Ruanne asked me to come up and to be part of that service. It was so beautiful, and the building was full. I mean, it was negative a billion degrees outside, but in our hearts, we were warm. And I've thought about the joy and just the blessing it was to know that I had a small part in Daryl's coming to Christ and knowing that now, that even though he is no longer in this life, he is living an abundant eternal life with our Heavenly Father. And can I tell you, that kind of joy, money can't buy that. I mean, money can buy a lot of nice stuff. I mean, I'm not opposed to trying, you know, get some things. But money can't buy that kind of a joy. Money can't buy the feeling you have when you go to bed at night knowing that you gave yourself for the gospel, for the Lord, and for his people. Money can't buy the feeling that you have in your heart when you've actually given away of your own finances to help somebody in need or to help further a mission of the church or a mission trip or whatever to see the gospel go forth. Money can't buy those feelings. Jesus said, it's quoted, I believe, in the book of Acts. I'm looking at John. It's like the only few red letters later on. Maybe it's in Corinthians. Paul quotes it. But it's not in the Gospels. But it's in red letters if you have a red letter Bible where it says that Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Somebody look it up and tell me after church exactly where that's at. And when we think about that, it's so true. It seems so counterintuitive to our human fleshly nature, right? It seems to go against what, you know, because for me, blessings are blessings that I get, right? Blessings are blessings that I receive. But Jesus himself said the greatest blessing you'll ever have, it's not what you get, but what you give. And I want to encourage you and us as a church to be a church that lives out what God has put in. That we would be a church that realizes that we do not just exist for the people in this room, but we also exist for the people who are not yet in this room. That we exist to see souls saved. That we exist to see families restored. That we exist to see needs met, right? That we exist to even go beyond this community and to go into the world. That's why we're planning a mission trip to the Dominican Republic, so that we can leave the comfort of home and go to a place that is uncomfortable for us, so that we can bring some of the good things that we've received and share it with those who don't have what we have. Healthy churches live out what God has put in, and healthy churches are filled with people who recognize their assignment to fill these empty seats as God fills empty hearts. A healthy church, a blessed church, a biblical church is a church that is God-centered, family-strong, and mission-driven. If we only focus on going up without in, that leads to spiritual arrogance. If we only focus on what God is doing in us but never going out, that's a holy huddle. And if we only try to do out there but not receive what God is doing in here or up there, that leads to burnout. But when you put it all together and you're moving up, you're moving in, and you're moving out, that's a church that God blesses. We're not chasing trends. We're not trying to be cool. We're certainly not pursuing comfort. We're pursuing health. And we're living our lives on purpose to make a difference for the King and his kingdom. And if we will focus on what God has called us to, God will do in here what only he can do. Amen. If you would, just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for this encouragement and this challenge that we've received from Acts. And I just pray, as humbly as I know how, as surrendered as I know how, God, that you, even in myself, God, especially in myself, that you would put in us a passion for health as individuals and as a church. A passion, God, for you. A passion for the family that's in this room every Sunday. And a passion, God, to see empty seats and empty hearts full of what you have for us. If you're in the house today, and maybe you've been attending but not belonging, maybe you've been consuming but not contributing, if you've been near what God is doing but you haven't been part of what God is doing, just right where you are, I'm not even going to ask you to raise a hand. This is between you and the Father. Maybe you're watching online and this is for you. You can comment or message if you want to, but most of all, I want this to be a time between you and the Lord, that you would say yes to the community, that you would say yes to the mission, that you would say yes to generosity, not just in your money, but in your time, in your energy, in your serving, in your giving, that you would most of all say yes to Jesus, that Jesus, whatever you ask of me, that's what I'm ready and willing to give. That's the church that God is going to bless. That's the church that God is going to use. Don, you got a song for us? Would we just stand once again and let's just close out this time in some worship together. And then I want us to pray our prayer at the end. But go ahead, Don, if you would just lead us as we worship together.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Jesus be the center of your church. Jesus be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, say that name again. Sing, oh Jesus. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus.
Amen. How many of you don't want to just be a part of the church that God blesses, but you want to be the person that God blesses? I do. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Yeah. Let's, if you'll put our blessing on the screen for us, let's pray this together. There we go. Come on, let's just repeat this together with one another. The Lord bless me and keep me. The Lord turn his face toward me and give me peace. I am loved. I am highly valued. God is with me. I release what's behind me. I receive what God is doing now. I am moving forward in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, church. Be safe going home, and I'll see you in a few weeks.